Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, a show dedicated to the storytelling that happens
or should happen
when practitioners purchase technology. Each episode is designed to inspire new ways and ideas to make your business better as we speak with the brightest minds in recruitment and HR tech. That's what we do. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's William Tincup, and you are listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today we have Aaron on from Krillate. And he's going to actually explain the genesis, the origin story around the company's name. And we're going to be talking about the use case, obviously, the business case or cost-benefit analysis for why his prospects and customers, why they purchased the company or why they purchased the product. So we're just going to jump right into it. Aaron, would you do us a favor and introduce both yourself and Krillate?
Sure. Hi, William. I'm Aaron Elder, CEO and co-founder of Krillate. And Krillate, we provide applicant tracking and recruiting CRM software to the staffing and recruiting industry.
Been
doing that for about 10 years.
And okay, so I did promise the audience that we would talk about the origin story of the name of the company.
My co-founder actually came up with the name. While on a metro subway in DC. But it comes from really the heart of recruiting and staffing, which is creating relationships. Relationships, Krillate.
Love that. Why did y'all focus on the staffing industry?
Well, it was actually very intentional. So a little background on me, my whole life, I'm a dev founder, right? So I'm a software developer. I actually went to school as a visual arts major, pivoted over to the coding.
You're dangerous because you actually have some UI experience, or you have an eye for the visual. You're a dangerous man already.
or productive man, maybe.
Actually, it's probably a better way of phrasing it.
Well, it certainly helped during the rise of the web, right?
Because
the web was coding sort of in a visual way for immediate visual experiences, right? And so it was quite beneficial during my early years. But my whole life, I've been either doing products or consulting companies, including owning my own or leading consulting companies. And my last consulting company, it went through a merger and then a spinoff and then a reacquisition, and ultimately ended up at a joint venture between Microsoft and Accenture called Avanade. And so it was sort of during this journey that I like really saw the inner workings of the consulting and staffing industry and experienced it firsthand, the heartaches and how hard it is to go find opportunities and then go find people to do them, whether those people on your bench or people from the field or people from wherever else you're going to get them. And you got to get those two things to align, and you got to do that over and over and over again,
right?
Forever. Because that is the business. And along the way, there was no really good software for doing it. And my background is in CRM systems. So I was the lead application architect for Microsoft Dynamics CRM. And then my consulting company, which I co-founded, we were an implementer, implementers of the CRM system.
Right.
And so I know CRM systems, I know business process. And so we ended up building our own system that was kind of a hybrid CRM / ATS. And then when I got to Avanade, I said, hey, I want to go solve this problem because it doesn't seem to be a lot of good options out there. And I looked at the landscape, and frankly, it seemed that the staffing and recruiting industry was a little underserved.
Completely underserved. Oh my God, there's 1,200 ATSs in the market, and at least 1,150 of them are pointed at the corporate market.
Well, absolutely. And so that's because your TAM, your total addressable market, is every employer in the world, right?
That's right.
Why would you limit yourself?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that the staffing niche has very particular needs that a corporate ATS just won't handle. And so that was the idea.
It breaks. And vice versa. It's really, I mean, recruiting is recruiting, but in an environment where it's one to many, like an RPO or staffing or an MSP versus corporate, it's just completely, process-wise and other communications, all the things that make recruiting are different. Like those people can talk to each other and share experiences, but the technology and the workflows and the underpinnings, they are vastly, it is Venus and Mars. And I'm glad you focused on the staffing market, actually, because it is completely underserved. And probably you got Bullhorn and a couple of other players that people might know, but that's about it. I mean, it is literally, if you're a staffing firm, you don't have the options that you do as a corporate TA leader that's picking an ATS or a CRM or a combination of both. You're probably overwhelmed with choice. So right. I'm super happy that you focused on them. Now tell us a little bit about the buyer. We know it's staffing, probably an owner or a general manager or someone on the technology side. What are they looking for in a product?
So the buyer and our buyer is it's a range of people, and it's funny when I was out raising money trying to explain this, it's a range, and it kind of depends. You got to understand the industry, because I almost view it like a matrix, if you will, because the buyer in a small firm or a one person right. firm is very different than a buyer in a large firm. But then there's also a difference on another axis based on industry.
Right.
That's the answer. So when we started, in our early days, we actually sort of cut our teeth in executive search, right? So we were focused very exclusively on that in the early on.
There weren't that many options there either.
Well, correct. So we're kind of a new kid on the block. We're focused, selling mostly to owner operators. They needed a lot of functionality at an affordable price.
Right.
And of course, every single one runs themselves a little bit differently. There's a lot of similarities, obviously, but a little bit differently. And I think our concept that we're going to build enterprise class software with full enterprise flexibility is key here, works well, but scale it and make it available to the masses. That was kind of the original dream, right? And so here I am coming off of selling multi-million dollar dynamic CRM deals, right, with a full CRM platform, and I'm trying to sell a CRM platform to a one-seat deal that wants, but they want a fully customizable workflow. They want customizable and experience and custom reports and custom fields and custom tags and custom everything.
Oh yeah. And they need to manage the front of the office and the back of the office. So they need to manage different parts of the business using one application.
Correct. And then the front office too has got sales and recruiting, right? Yep. It depends on how complex you are. And so we started there and basically just listened. And we have it on our website. My approach to this is that we are walking into a large and established and growing market. This was actually very interesting when I was raising money as well. It's like, I'm not swinging for defenses, hoping, with a chance of flaming out. So I'm not really VC material, right? I'm more growth equity kind of PE material,
right?
Because we're walking into a established, large and growing market. I need to listen, iterate, and continuously improve. And so we started with a bunch of, with one seat deals, smaller firms, or again, bigger firms, started doing firms that had some temp in their mix, started doing some firms, right, et cetera. Fast forward to today, we've launched Omni, which brings our full middle and back office capabilities. And so now we're, stepping full force into staffing and everything in between.
So the industries you mentioned a second ago, that's the industries that your clients, I'm assuming that your clients would serve, they're in high volume, or they're in temp to perm, or they're blue collar or corporate, or they just do technology. Like what's the array of folks that you serve?
Well, currently we serve, it's actually a surprisingly broad spectrum. From very specific vulcanized rubber expertise, right, to oil and gas, to trucking, to restaurants, to hospitality, to healthcare, it's literally the full gamut.
Oh, that's cool.
And now, having said that, certain industries do have very particular needs that we don't, always address, but we will one day, or we can with customization and professional services. But that's, an evolution for us as well. But, it's interesting. I think there's an ATS like just for anesthesiologists or something. I saw that once. Like there's some pretty niche stuff out there.
Yeah. And again, the industries that need something that's that specific, they need like the healthcare industry, which is really, really kind of a fascinating industry to serve. They need certifications. They need to make sure that those certs are up to date, because they might not get paid, or payment might be delayed if certifications are not, you know, they can't validate those. So it's like, really interesting nuanced stuff. And same thing with truckers. You got to make sure that they're licensed, that they're in good standing. So there's criminal background checks and all kinds of stuff that they put in their workflow that they, from a safety perspective, they have to have in there.
Totally. It's one of the reasons too, why I think our sort of flexible by default approach is pretty unique.
Yeah.
Is that like when we designed our document management system, like we designed it with compliance management in mind, right?
Oh, that's
smart. Because, you know, today's customers may not need all of those requirements, but absolutely as we move into different industries, you're going to need that. You're going to need documents that expire. You're going to need approval processes and review processes. You're going to need a single dashboard to say whose credentials are expiring this month that I got to go send reminder emails to, et cetera. So we built it that way.
And if people want to, let's say API in a personality or behavioral assessment or skills assessment or something like that, take us into, you know, some folks, they build a marketplace and they kind of do it that route. And some of them just kind of make the API open and you can build whatever you want. And, you know, you can go that route. What's y'all's strategy, or what's your take on just kind of, you're not going to build everything. I mean, you know, you're going to build a lot of stuff for your clients, but ultimately they're going to have some other things that they want to tie in workflow wise and tech wise that they want to tie into what they're using you for. How does that work? Let's just
totally. Well, so you sort of positioned it as a, you know, an API or a marketplace. And for those that know me, my joke would be yes. Because it's both. So as a platform, I consider ourselves a platform company, right? So
right.
I want to be the platform that a business can run on, and trust that they can run on us for years to come, and trust that if you start with us as, you know, a one seat and you grow your business to 20 or 50 or 100, that you can keep, you know, using the same platform. So with that in mind, yes, is the answer. So our approach is to, one, have a full open API. So anyone can code against it. You don't need any special permission or anything like that. Just an account with access. And we are developing a marketplace instead of marketplace partners that we'll do there. So that there'll be first party marketplace apps, you know, we'll probably launch like a native HubSpot integration sometime this year, right? Next year, and a native Salesforce. But then there'll be, you know, ones where, you know, maybe products I've never heard of have built integrations to us, because it's really about enabling the customer in their scenario.
Yeah. And again, getting back to every customer and every industry needs something, they might need something a bit nuanced or different. I love that you position it in your mind and for your customers and prospects as a platform, because it is a hiring platform. It's a one to many hiring platform. So a staffing firm might sit on, you know, 100 different clients.
Absolutely.
So how they manage all of those different clients is going to be different.
Well, and that's something that, oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, you got it.
Well, and that's something that it's not just the one to many, but it's also the revenue aspect.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like,
good point.
So corporate systems have no concept of revenue.
None, zero.
But if you don't make a placement, right, you're not getting that fee.
That's right.
Yeah. It's interesting too, to me, how not only does the industries, in our little matrix of ideal customers vary, it's also different based on the margins of the business, right? And the kind of, you know, how often you got to pay people, and what you pay people, and you know, how often people show up, even after you've onboarded them. It's fascinating the exceptionally wide range of scenarios
right.
that talent organizations have to deal with.
That's right. And my friends that own staffing firms would not be offended by me saying this. Staffing owners in general, you said affordable earlier. I would use the another word, cheap. and they would not be offended by that, because you know they know their margins. It's so different than the corporate market, where they don't really know when you do cost of hire. they don't really know the math. Where you talk to a staffing owner, they know the math. And that's why things have to fit into a certain, you know, box. And again, the way you, your position is more appropriate, of course, but affordable. But well, I've worked in the staffing industry long enough where I can actually say cheap.
It's funny because I mean, people who know me, like, I mean, like frugality is actually one of my personal principles for life, right?
Right.
I get it. It's a delicate balance though, because, you know, people, you also don't want to be on a system that isn't hiring devs and growing and adding new features, right? Because you're paying bottom dollar. Right. So we got to find that sweet spot.
That's right.
And
some people in some of those systems that might be cheaper are systems that are older or systems that can't grow with you. They're not a true platform.
Correct.
And I think that's one of the things is like, hey, listen, if you want a platform that will grow with you, in fact, it'll be in front of you for all of your needs. Fantastic. If you're trying to find something else, then there's, you know, there's other choices that you can make. Do you find yourself displacing like proprietary systems or Excel or other players in the space? Like, what are you displacing right now?
Yeah, so I mean, it's all of the above.
you just yesed me again.
Yeah, I just yesed you again.
I love it.
If you're one of the things I love though, and this was actually particularly apparent when COVID originally hit, was that we had a lot of new businesses being formed, right? So you get laid off from your firm, you're like, hey, I'm gonna go hang out a shingle, right? And I need a good quality ATS that is, you know, from a company that's approachable and affordable, right? And so we had a ton of new businesses sign up, you know, last summer, right? As a result of that, but then all the time I think we do a data migration for probably 60-ish% of our business. And that has come from, we've got a pool of pre-built migrators for like 40 or 50 different systems
now.
So, I mean, so it's a wide range of things, including custom one-offs.
Oh, that's awesome. So you just take all their history and just suck it in and clean it up possibly and bring it into the new system. That's awesome.
And ideally transform it. Along the way, because
fair enough,
you'd be amazed. Yeah. Cause you know,
no, like, I would not be amazed,
but you got that one custom field as you were going to fill in and you stopped filling it in back in like 94 and like, you don't, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. But when your dot matrix printer went out, at one point you stopped filling out that thing. Let me ask you a question about buying questions. Mm-hmm. And you know, you get to see this from a lot of different levels and have, What the questions that you love a prospect that ask you, what are some of those, like you just get tickled, like, okay, they get it. What are some of those tells or those questions that you love hearing from prospects?
Probably like the "can I" kind of thing.
Cool.
And what I'm thinking with that is in terms of the flexibility.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
a yes.
It's a yes, right? Can I? Well, so a little bit of background on me on that too is like, I growing up in a consulting world, right? Like, I'm always myself and all my devs, I've always taught, like, you know, it's yes with an if, no with a but, right? And well, because we want to listen to what they're trying to achieve,
right?
And then, can I do that? And it's like, well, yeah, you can do it, and here's several ways in which you can do it. Now, that can have the downside of being maybe a little overwhelming because there's options, right?
I grew up in the agency world, the ad agency, marketing agency world. And when people would say, can I, I would actually rephrase and say, it's never a question of can you. It's
should you.
Should you? How much, how often, how soon? Like, it's all these others derivative. It's all these other questions. It's not even a question of can you. Yeah, of course you can. Should you? Let's now then bifurcate that and then go, okay, now how much money, how much time, you know, resources and all this other stuff. But I love the can I.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, from a prospect's perspective, I love that because they're not thinking about basic stuff. They're not thinking about, okay, you know, some feature, some functionality, or can it invoice or this, that, or the other. They're thinking about, okay, cool, can I do this? They're already thinking about using the system.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. And can the system work the way, because it's, you know, as a platform company and my prior life as a consulting company working for all these different clients, like every business is different and unique and special, but there's a lot of commonality across all of them. And so how do you build tools that are able to accommodate all those different scenarios? And I'm not done yet. I'm not saying I'm done, right? I'm just, there's plenty more to go do, but it's always cool to see what customers and then what, like our professional services team, we have some consultants who will, you know, truly kind of do like the process transformation with you, right? Like, so can you do that? Sure. Should you? Maybe. What goals are you trying to achieve?
Right.
Like how do you want to measure your team? How do you want to measure output? How much do you want to grow? Okay. Oh, let's work backwards from that. Set up your process to optimize for that. And then off you go.
As your professional services team, is it separate or is that their implementation? How do you interact with the as a customer? How do you interact with the professional services team?
Internally, it is separate. It's a separate organization, separate leadership, separate devs, et cetera. You know, we're not large enough yet where we're going to have, you know, systems integrators pounding out our doors, right? So, but we're building the internal team with that kind of mindset. Right. So we're building an open API for them to work against. They're building their own tools and stuff to accelerate and best practices. They're building, you know, onboarding, you know, guides and training, et cetera. So it's a separate org within the team. They talk to product all the time. They talk to sales all the time. And there's a clean handoff between the salesperson and the onboarding team. And then off to, you know, customer success once they're onboarded.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So a couple of things, when people first see the platform, what do they fall in love with?
Good question. I think it depends on who it is.
Oh, it's okay.
Well, I say that because,
because of the variability in the different buyers. It could be an individual contributor, or it could be a business owner.
And the experience of the person, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm talking UX theory here, right?
Yeah.
Like the answer to your question is that I think they like the user experience and they like how much information they can get on one screen.
Is
the short answer. Now, the funny thing is that more experienced recruiters tend to value that.
Right.
But if you look at a lot of corporate systems and the design directions that they've gone, it's less, right?
Right.
It's super simple, super minimalist, et cetera. And that's visually appealing.
Right.
But how do you make it visually appealing by also minimizing clicks and letting you see the resume and the activity history and the last time you talked to them and the last time you reached out to them and who's next and what's like all on one screen, right? Without it being overload.
Well, I think staffing firms have to work differently. I mean, it's not just because of the price and because there's revenue attached to it, but because of speed.
Correct.
You know, and so they don't have time to click five times to get to the report. Most of those folks they've got to be able to see it right there when they're on a call. They've got to be able to see it. And so I think it's more appropriate for that audience, for the RPO and staffing and MSP market.
Correct. And once you've set it up the way you want and you're in a groove and you click to the next record, everything should just roll over to the next record as well. Old systems used to have like a next button. I don't know if you ever remember that.
Yeah, of course.
But we got a grid. And so when it shrinks down and minimizes and you click on the next row, everything you had open on the last record pops right up, right in place, right? So you can very quickly go through that. I think the next final thing as well is that all aspects of our app have been built by the same team in sort of the same way. And so once you understand some of the basic principles of how things flow and what's going to happen, once you learn how our process engine works, it's the same way as the way the workflow engine works, which is the same way that the document and artifact engine works. It becomes very familiar.
Right.
And so you're able to jump around and do things pretty quickly.
And that makes it, again, it's speed of adoption, because that familiarity, just going from one thing to another and understanding, okay, I get this. I understand how to do this now, even if it's something completely different, which is fantastic. That's great design, and also great for this particular buyer. Time being a factor, not just now in this, at this point in history. It's just staffing firms historically have had to work faster because they're under a different clock than corporate folks. Last question before we roll out: favorite customer story, without names, of course. Just something you've seen where a customer's just they've used the platform. And you're like, wow, that's really cool.
Absolute favorite, and if she's listening, she'll know who she is. We actually invited her to speak at our all hands, but she's in the business of helping others set up recruiting firms. And she focuses on people who might not otherwise have that chance at opportunity, the right way that a recruiting firm that you own can really achieve for yourself. It's funny. I heard a really awesome quote. It was that. Starting your own recruiting firm, like there's no easier way to make 300K a year, right? But there's also no harder way to make 60, right?
I don't know. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And it's super true, right? Because you can work butt off and not make anything, for that whole time. But anyway, so she takes all of her experience and she takes people, formerly incarcerated, people down at Elect or switching jobs or whatever, sets them up with Correlate, sets them up with training, sets them up with onboarding, and spits out opportunity and these little businesses left, right, and center. And it's amazing and it's awesome. And she's got story after story of success stories from that. And
fantastic on so many levels.
It's super, isn't it? Yeah. Really aligns to my own personal desires. Like I actually internally call Correlate a prosperity engine, right? Because we're in the business of helping people be prosperous, right? Our customers are entrepreneurs and they're helping candidates find better jobs or their next job or their first job. So we're helping the candidates. And if we're doing a good job, they're going to buy our software. And so I can grow my team and give people shots and we promote from within. And that's a major goal. And the whole thing is this big engine of prosperity. And that's what gets me really excited.
Platform of prosperity.
There you go. A platform of prosperity.
I love it. I love it. Aaron, thank you so much for your time. I know you're super busy, but just thank you for carving out time to kind of break things down and educate us. And I love what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks for everyone listening to the Use Case Podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and hit us up at recruitingdaily.com.